Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for you joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight to have you join us and listening, but we're delighted even more to have you call in, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. The designed purpose of this broadcast, this Face the Issues show each day, is to get you, our listener, involved with the information, the dialogue and the discussion about that information, to give encouragement and hope and peace and strength and in encouragement through knowing the truth. Because we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, continue, constantly be in, stay in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely, authentically, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to change our lives, direct our footsteps, and be an encouragement and a counsel to us each and every day. It is the word truth that is so often shirked, and the responsibility of truth is denied, rejected, and ridiculed today more than any other time in the history of our great nation, in my most humble opinion. You may disagree, but I believe that is the case. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, in his dystopian novel called 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that taking place each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, even in the Christmas season, we have those today that's denying the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They're denying the truth of what Christmas is all about. They're rejecting and ridiculing Jesus Christ all over again. And we find that exponentially increasing year by year. As we celebrate the Christ of Christmas, there are those that will laugh at, mock at, ridicule, and make fun of. And some have even tried to replicate, duplicate, imitate Christmas by calling it Kwanzaa and getting the attention of multitudes, mega millions across America to focus on a false, phony, fiat holiday that's even on your calendar now, and it's called Kwanzaa. It's usually the day after Christmas, and the intended purpose of that being developed and originated was from a leftist, Marxist, socialist, communist professor in 1966 in one of the, I believe it was USCA, University of California at Berkeley, professors, and he did that to focus and take the attention off Christmas, and he's done a good job at that. I don't recommend it. In fact, I say to every Christian, don't worship a false god via the Kwanzaa celebration at multitudes. Many pastors, many Christians, many churches today fall into the trap of doing that. And most all of you, socialist, Marxist, communist network news programs will focus on that and tell you the wonders of it, even give you words that were not even found in the historical setting of that supposed Kwanzaa celebration. But the whole point is celebrate Jesus, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand what the cost of Christmas really is. We're talking about that today, the cost of Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, it was former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Senator DeMint said, and I quote, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values and the foundation for Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Further, he states, What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the basics of truth. It was 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I believe we're on the very cusp of that today. We're on the very verge of our lives being on the chopping block, if you will, our lives being in the crosshairs of the enemy for destruction and devastation if we stand for truth. But ladies and gentlemen, if we have to stand alone, stand for truth. If you have to stand by yourself, stand for truth. If we have to stand even at the risk of life, stand for truth. That's the mantra that I've had for many, many years, and I believe that it is worth applying that principle in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators and hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional lawn care equipment as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole 165 feet there. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find that flag and flagpole. On the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear from you today. What are you doing for the celebration of Christmas? What do you think the cost of Christmas should be? How much should an individual spend on Christmas? I'm sure you would say, well, it's based on the size family. We're going to talk about the cost of Christmas. I believe some of the statisticians tell us that last year, don't know what it will wind up being this year, that over $500 billion was spent for Christmas shopping. $500 billion. For Christmas shopping. So I don't know what it will be from year to year. It could be lower or higher this year. Inflation could make those numbers go exponentially higher than last year's numbers. But how much is enough to spend for Christmas? What did it cost Jesus for Christmas? What did it cost Mary? What did it cost Joseph? What did it cost the wise men for the first Christmas? Those are the things we want to talk about today. And that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Would love to hear from you also some of the memories you have of Christmases past. And I believe that as Christians and Christian homes and families, we need to build memories each Christmas, leaving a legacy behind for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids of what Christmas is really all about. We have gotten into the state and to the declension today in America where there's the hustle and the bustle, the rush and the roaring, going out and shopping, getting in the traffic gridlock to buy gifts, and spending more than we should on gifts in order to satisfy the craving desire of those that on Christmas morning want to find something expensive under the tree with their name on it. But we fail to recognize the real cost of Christmas, the real cost for our being able to celebrate Christmas each year, the Christmas season. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we rejoice in the celebration of Christmas. But what if Jesus Christ had never come into the world? What if Jesus had never been born? We've talked about that portion on a couple of occasions on this broadcast. I preached a whole series from the pulpit in our church several years ago, and portions of it each year after that. What if Jesus Christ had never come? What if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? If he had never been born, we would have no celebration. We'd have no Christmas. We'd have no Christians. We'd have no coming again. There would be no rejoicing. There would be no reconciliation. There'd be no redemption. There'd be no resurrection if Jesus Christ had never been born. Have you thought about that? If you thought about what this world would be like if Jesus Christ had never come into this world, if he had never left heaven's glory and come to earth's gloom and take upon himself the form, that's the word morphe, the form of man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, talks about Jesus Christ leaving heaven's glory, coming to earth's gloom, took upon himself the form of man. The form. Now listen, we need to understand this very, very clearly. He took upon himself the form of man. There was never a time in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into his physicality, into the world, there's never a moment in time where Jesus Christ surrendered his omniscience, his omnipotence, his absolute total power. It is the fact that Jesus Christ took upon himself. Here's his deity, and he adds to the deity the human flesh. That's an addition, not a subtraction. That's an addition, not a deletion. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he took upon himself, Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, took upon himself the form. The word form is the word morphe, the outward shell, the shroud of humanity is what he took upon himself and became a man that he might suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine, that he might experience what we experience, that he might understand and be able to understand with us and to have the fellowship, as the Apostle Paul said, the fellowship of his suffering is what Paul was seeking in his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus give up in coming into this world? John, the 17th chapter, is what we call the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to pick up with about verse 4. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus speaking, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory, having that relationship with God the Father, and understanding we don't serve three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Godhead. Colossians 2, 9 says that in Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God. We get to heaven, there won't be three thrones, one throne there for God the Father, one throne for God the Son, one throne for God the Holy Spirit. Won't be. But yet there's some that use the philosophy and make the statement. Let me just read you a brief statement of one writer. He says, he literally, speaking of Jesus, literally decided with the Father to step down from heaven into a fallen world of danger and deception. He even presumably had to disengage his own divine consciousness to become a human being. He had to give up all of his powers, those used to create the heavens and the earth and all things that were made. He had to be born under trying circumstances, following a rough 100-mile walk by his parents from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I just made a little marginal note in that article. Not so. Jesus never gave up his divine prerogatives and powers. All of the divine prerogatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of his divine powers, all of his supernatural existence continued to remain intact as he came through a mother's womb, a human womb, into this old world to suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross for you and for me. That's part of the cost we're talking about of Christmas. You can call 831-0917. 831-0917. That's our telephone number. Your call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so we can entertain your thoughts, your questions, your comments in relationship to the subject today. Issue we're talking about is the cost of Christmas. Jesus Christ gave up his position with the Father in heaven. And I just read the John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. He talked about the glory, the doxa, the beauty that he had with the Father before leaving heaven's glory. God the Father and God the Son, God the Father made the decision that he would come in the form of man. He didn't have to get permission from an outside source. God didn't have to get permission from a committee of some kind to vote on it. God didn't have to say, may I, can I? He made a decision that he was going to come into the world in the form of a human womb, that he might suffer and bleed and die in the physicality, that we might have a way to be redeemed as human beings. Keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and he did so, and he left the position that he had with the Father in glory. Secondly, he gave up his heavenly glory for earth's gloom. When Jesus Christ was born in the stable just over 2,000 years ago now, he became the God-man, our advocate, our comforter, our shepherd, our Savior. We're talking about the cost of Christmas. when we talk about the cost of Christmas, we're not just necessarily talking about what individuals, human beings spend in the world today on lavishly spending for Christmas. I'm always saddened by that, ladies and gentlemen. Today's lost people can be redeemed and reconciled back to God through placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his free gift of salvation on Calvary's cross. This Christmas season should be a time of rejoicing, should be a time of reflecting, should be a time of redemption, should be a time of reconciliation for the child of God. May I suggest to you one of the best ways that you can invest in Christmas morning is to sit with the family, study the scripture, read the Christmas story, read the story in Luke's gospel, the first chapter, verse 26 and following. Read the story of the birth of Jesus in Luke's gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 and following. Read the story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 24 about Joseph and his connectivity to that announcement of the first Christmas. We see in the scripture the announcement of the first Christmas, the arrival of the first Christmas, and the excitement, the joy of the first Christmas, and the fact that the find the shepherds that were willing to go and gave of gold and myrrh and frankincense, the greatest gifts that could be given, they're willing to give for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas, may I suggest to you that you have a different approach to Christmas than we've had in history past. I was out on the roads, the highways the other day, trying to go from one point and destination to another right here in the city, and it seemingly was taking forever to get just two or three blocks in the travel. And it's because our highways are filled today with shoppers, those that are shopping, trying to frantically get the gifts before the deadline and the date passes that you can't do so. And as a result of that, there's major, major clogging of the highways. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying don't shop. I'm not saying don't buy Christmas gifts. I'm not saying not give a gift to a loved one to let them know I'm thinking of you and I love you. I'm thankful for you. But I am saying that I believe from the Christian perspective, even as Christians, we invest too many dollars in things that eventually will be in garage sales a year, 2 years, 3 years later. I remember the story Chuck Swindoll told a number of years ago. He said that many people will fill their garages up until they have to park the car outside, can't put it in the garage, and then they'll have to sell the stuff in order to get it out of the garage in order to park the car in the garage. And it's a matter of months before the garage is filled with stuff again, and they have to sell it again in a garage sale, giving it away at half the price or a quarter of the price in order to have space to park the car. That's what Americans have come to know and understand as Christmas and Christmas shopping, is to get stuff, more stuff, more stuff, and more stuff until you have the closets full, the garage is full, and you decide, gee whiz me, I believe we need to have a garage sale to empty the closets, to empty the garage so that we can have a place to park the car and a place to hang our clothing rather than having stuff stacked. And that's exactly what we see Christmas after Christmas. What is your philosophy on Christmas? How are you investing this Christmas? What do you do each Christmas to build memories, precious memories, legacy memories as to the Christmas past and Christmas present? How do you do that? I contend that the only way is to put the focus in the right place. As Emory Bancroft and his writings on the major doctrines of the Bible, in Christology, he said it's his history, his story. From beginning to end, it's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. History, his story. And that's the way we need to view Christmas. It's his story, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just celebrated in our church the Jesus birthday celebration. And we've said for years and years and years, we've done that about 35 years, and we've said for years that it's Jesus' birthday, and yet at his birthday, most will give and exchange and receive Christmas gifts, and Jesus get nothing. Nothing. How would it be, what would it be like if you go over to a friend's house and it's your birthday and there's going to be a birthday party and you get to the birthday party and everybody gives and exchanges gifts and you have nothing given, there's no gift, and yet it's your birthday party. That's the way we leave it each year, I believe, not deliberately in my opinion, but that's the way we leave it each year with celebrating Christmas rather than focusing on the cost of Christmas and what Christmas is all about. Have you given that consideration? Have you pondered that? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. We're talking about today the cost of Christmas, so let me just postulate a few questions for you to ponder. What did it cost Mary? What did it cost the Magi? What did it cost the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christmas? What did it cost them for the first Christmas? And it's the Christmas that we celebrate each and every year. So therefore, that's what the way I view the real cost of Christmas. What is the real cost of Christmas? Today, I believe that we need to recognize that our redemption and our reconciliation is all because of having Jesus Christ in his first coming. This Christmas season, I believe we need to take time to rejoice over the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to reflect back on his first coming. We need to reflect back on the purpose for his coming, and that is for redemption and our reconciliation. We are at enmity with God. But as we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are reconciled, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we are reconciled that we might be able to reconcile others through the power of the Holy Spirit back to God. It is the reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Christ that we might be able to have the reconciliation. You see, when Christ died on the cross, ladies and gentlemen, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. When the church is raptured out, the 7 years of tribulation comes upon the world. The word tribulation is the word thalipsis, which means pressure, problems, devastation. It is where the wrath of God, the word wrath is the word in the Greek text thumos, the white hot anger of God is poured out on a Christ rejecting, God hating, Bible denying society. And so the Christian does not go through the tribulation because God has no wrath to be settled between God and the Christian. His wrath for our sin was all poured on Christ at Calvary on the cross, that we might be reconciled and redeemed back to him. So, ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas, let us recommend to you that it's not a holiday, it's a holy day, the holiest day of the year. That is the Christmas day when we celebrate the first coming, when we celebrate the first Christmas, when we celebrate the fact that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world to reconcile us back to God and to redeem us from eternal damnation. It is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first Christmas, that we need to focus on. We need to focus on the reason that Jesus Christ came to earth the first time. Why did he come the first time? Many people talk about his second coming and don't even realize why he came the first time. Multitudes today will celebrate Christmas and the Christmas season without fully realizing who Jesus Christ is and why he came. We'll celebrate Christmas by giving of gifts and receiving gifts and not fully understand that Jesus Christ came into the world to die. He came to be our sacrifice. He came to be our sin sacrifice on Calvary's cross so that we might have eternal life. So that as we look at the cost of Christmas, we need to understand what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in a moment of this broadcast. We're going to talk about the cost of Christmas for the Magi, the cost of Christmas for Mary, the cost of Christmas for the Master. What did it cost those three for the celebration of the first Advent, the first Christmas, that we might celebrate Christmas even today? When we think about Christmas, the cost for shopping, the cost for sightseeing, the cost for searching for the right gift, the economists tell us, and I touched on that a little earlier, that there will probably be some $500 billion spent. $500 billion. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can't even count that high. $500 billion spent for Christmas for shopping and selecting gifts. And I understand that if we buy gifts, we're doing so with a heart of love. We buy gifts, we're buying it from the standpoint of what does this person in our family really need? What does he want? But many times it's junk that will go in the closet, as I said earlier, for future garage sales. It needs to be something, ladies and gentlemen, that is spiritual. We need to invest in eternity and not in the temporal. Many times what we're investing in today are things that will one day burn up, be gone. But if we invest in the real cost of Christmas, that is invest in knowing Christ as Savior, invest in salvation full and free, invest in spending time in the Word of God, spending time in the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story, I believe it will be the best investment that you can make for Christmas. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, from Friday after Thanksgiving, they've called it Black Friday. And I never understood the term, but I understand from an economic standpoint, it's because it's when merchants are able to get out of the red with their numbers, get into the black, that is the positive numbers, and celebrate the making of the money for the year. Because most merchants, I am told, half of their income for the year is made up at the Christmas season. This is the reason most of them are scrambling out there today trying to get products because of the distribution being held up at the left coast with King Uzziah Newsom and as the governor of California. He's the one that's the major problem, along with Joe Biden, for not being able to get the distribution of supplies across America. But multitudes of merchants today are panic-stricken because the merchandise they need to sell for Christmas, the gadgets, the goodies, the little things that will fill the end caps of the stores that are worthless in the long run, they're panic-stricken because they can't get those to sell as merchandise to those that are shopping in the stores. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the amount of money that's being spent, how does that equate? What does that show as far as our value system? Someone said a number of years ago, if you want to know a person's primary interest, if you want to know where a person's heart is, look at their checkbook, look at their check register. How do they spend their money? That will tell you where their absolute priorities are. It's where they spend the money. It will be sad to see the checkbook for multitudes today that claim to be saved. They give the leftovers, the crumbs, they give that back to God in tithes and offerings, and give use the majority of what their income is on self and selfishness and looking at what they can get and the goodies and the toys that they can buy with those dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, it is during this same time, that's the Christmas season, most churches suffer the lack of attendance and the lack of income because of people, i.e. Christians, having the focus in the wrong place. So the intent of this broadcast today is to motivate you to recognize what we ought to do for Christmas, how we ought to invest our time, talent, treasure, and testimony. When you look at Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, and the wise men, some people say three wise men. There's nothing that gives any account of that. We know there was more than one. The wise men, it was more than one. Could have been two, three, half a dozen. But when the wise men came, they sacrificed their time. Took about 2 years to get to where they were to find Jesus. They sacrificed their treasure. They gave gold and frankincense and myrrh, the most valuable commodities of that day. They sacrificed their trust because when the angel spoke to them in a dream, told them, do not go back to Herod. Don't let Herod know where Jesus is. In the 16th verse of Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter says that Herod was waiting on that to be able to kill all the male children from 2 years old and down. So his purpose wasn't to worship Jesus, but to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you invest your time? How do you invest your money? What is the cost of Christmas this year to you? How are you planning on spending Christmas Day, investing Christmas Day, ladies and gentlemen? I want us to understand that when we celebrate Christmas, we've overlooked, we've forgotten. Many parents will go into debt and fill the charge cards to the brim and suffer the balance of the year in order to get the expensive high-tech toys for their kids while giving nothing to the Lord Jesus Christ, or very little to the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be a change, a tectonic change in the way we celebrate Christmas, in my most humble opinion. We have devolved to the point and place and time in society, even as Christians, that we celebrate Christmas just as the world. When's the last time you read the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story, around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning? When's the last time you sat with your kids and your grandkids and you told them the Christmas story about Jesus coming to earth, leaving heaven's glory to earth's gloom, to ultimately die on Calvary's cross for our sins to be forgiven? When's the last time you told that Christmas story at Christmas time? That should be the focus. Our focus must be on spiritual things. If we want to see things change in America, we want to see a turnaround with what we're seeing in the nation today, we need to have revival, and I believe revival needs to start this Christmas season, that we're recognizing who Jesus Christ really is and what we need to do in the celebration of his first coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to focus the balance of our broadcast time today on the high cost of Christmas. What did it cost Mary? What did it cost Joseph? What did it cost Jesus? What did it cost the wise men? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.